Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. The Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. If there's something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question perhaps you'd like to pose, call now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Well, it's the day fondly and sometimes not so fondly called Halloween. And it's also the final day of our look at the book of Revelation. Day 23, in fact, of our study. And here to bring it all together, Bob Christopher.
Well, this is the last day of our journey through the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 22 today, and it is the exclamation point that God puts on his testimony concerning his son. It's a powerful, powerful chapter. As we come to the end, the revelation is complete. We've seen Jesus in his glory, power, and honor. And it's this vision of Jesus that really blesses the hearts of those who read this letter and take to heart the words in this particular letter. It's not about, taking a newspaper and matching it up to the Bible and seeing if you can connect the dots. Is this a fulfillment of this prophecy? Or it's not about answering all those crazy questions that we have and the curiosity that we have. This is a book about Jesus, period, kind of end of story. And when we realize that, it becomes this powerful, powerful message that assures our hearts, that infuses hope and confidence in us, confidence to live bravely and courageously in this world today, and confidence to face our future, knowing that it's bright, knowing that it's going to be wonderful in the hands of Christ Jesus. And I love how this this chapter kind of ends the story. It comes full circle. You know, we start out in Genesis, and there's this Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve are having fellowship with God the Father, you know, every single day. And all they know is the tree of life and the goodness of God. And now we circle back to that, and we see those elements here for us in this particular chapter. We see a river filled with the water of life flowing kind of through this garden. On either side is the tree of life that's constantly producing crops every month, indicating God's provision for us. It's a powerful image, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And right there in the middle of that image, verse 4, the opening phrase is, "They will see his face." We can't see him now, but we will see him then,
yeah,
just like Adam and Eve did before.
Absolutely. And that's just powerful. And that is the story of the gospel. You know, a lot of times, especially those who kind of are called gracers, you know, this grace message is so important. And grace is everything. But sometimes we just focus on the goodies of grace, you know, forgiveness of sins, the fact that we have a new identity. But all of that is really there to connect us back to God. I love the idea of reconciliation. It's we were estranged, but now we've come back together. Mm-hmm. We're enjoying each other's presence, each other's company. I love what Peter said about Jesus, the fact that he died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And we see that being lived out here in Revelation 22, the fact that we will have personal, intimate relationship and fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That is the end as far as God is concerned. That's his goal for us. That's his desire for us, that we would be reconnected to him, restored in all ways so that we can fully know him and be fully known by him. And that is an amazing passage, the fact that we will see him. There's other elements in this chapter, I think, that are extremely powerful as well. There's this promise that Jesus is coming. We know he's returning. And for many, that's a scary proposition, because we know that when we die, then comes judgment. We know that when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a judgment against those who are lost, who've rebelled against him, who have disobeyed the gospel message. But for us who are in Christ, there is no more judgment. There is no condemnation. So this should be a time that we look forward to. So there's this promise of his coming. In light of that promise, there's another invitation in this particular chapter. It's an invitation to those who are thirsty. It's an invitation for those who are thirsty to come unto Jesus and to drink of the water of life. Here at the very end, there's an evangelistic message. And you've made some really powerful points in some of our discussions about the nature of this evangelistic message at the end of Revelation.
Oh, yes. If some of you are familiar with this kind of approach where, you know, whenever you take somebody into Revelation, especially if they're not a believer, you use the mark of the beast to scare them into the kingdom. And Jesus never does that. He comes to people and says, if you're thirsty, come to me and I'll give you the water of life. Simple as that. And there's a whole bunch of truth hidden there that makes for powerful evangelism. It's not that we're neutral and that we're trying to decide whether we want to be Satan's friend or Jesus's friend. We're born lost. We're born spiritually dead. And Jesus says, when you realize that, come to me and I'll give you life, and no one can take it away from you. That's an incredibly more winning argument to make with people than, well, you know, if you don't straighten up, you're going to hell. Who cares? I mean, okay, tell me something I don't know.
Right.
Jesus loves you and wants to give you life. Now we're talking.
That's right. Try to connect with the person.
Yes.
With what their real need is, because mm-hmm. underneath the external, the things that you can observe about a person is a heart longing for something more.
Yes.
A heart that is crying out, you know, for answers. A heart that's crying out for truth. A heart that's crying out for life. And if we can connect with a person at that level, then this gospel message will truly resonate, because it cuts through all the other stuff and gets to the real issue at hand. As Paul said, we're dead in transgressions and sin. We know that there's something missing. We can't put our finger on what it is, but the gospel message can. And when people hear that, they have an opportunity to really respond to the reason Jesus came. And why did he come? So that we might have life and have it to the full. So this really is a good news story carried out to its glorious end. And so it's been a wonderful journey for us, and
yeah.
we certainly hope it's been a wonderful journey
for
you.
Thanks for going through it with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go to Juan listening to us in Modesto, California, and anyone else who would like to join us on today's broadcast, the number to call is 1-800-677-9377. So if you have a question about Revelation, some other question on your heart or mind, now's the time to call, 1-800-677-9377. Juan, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine, thank you.
Just had a quick question. See if you can direct me in the Bible where I can read up on it a little bit more. I obviously haven't read through the Bible. That's why I'm calling you completely. There's been so many people where they say they can see the future, see your past, see the present, see what's going to happen to you, see your afterlife, what your previous life was thousands of years ago, and all this stuff. Where in the Bible does it teach you about those things? Is there any specific passages or anything in there that I can just go to and kind of read up on what the Bible teaches about that stuff?
Well, there's definitely some passage that speak to those things, you know, visions and dreams and all of those sort of things. There's something intriguing about those. There's something fascinating about those. And we try to impart meaning to them, you know, and we ask those questions. What does this dream mean? What is God trying to say to me through this? What is he trying to say to me through this vision? And I think God answered that in the book of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophet, prophets at many times and in various ways. And so back in the Old Testament, you'll see time and time again where a prophet had a vision, a prophet had a dream, God gave them the meaning of that, and then they took that information to the people. But it was just more revelation about this unfolding story of Christ Jesus. So that's how he spoke to the people back in those days. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So the message of God to man is the message of Jesus. The fact Jesus became one of us, he took upon our flesh, our blood. He walked in obedience to his Father. He loved people. He became the perfect Lamb of God. He stepped in our shoes. He died in our place. He was buried. He was raised the third day. And through faith in him, we can experience salvation and eternal life. That is the story. That is the message God wants to give us. And now it's been clearly laid out for us in the Word of God. We can see the message of Christ right there in the Word of God. We don't need those visions and dreams and that sort of thing. The Holy Spirit can bring those, bring the information, the message about Christ to our hearts. Do some people have visions? Do some people have dreams? Do some people have those things today? Certainly they have those things. How do you know they're from God? How do you know they're from demonic influence? Well, it's going to simply come down to the message of Christ. A lot of people want to have visions. A lot of people want to have dreams because they think they're a little more spiritual than the rest of the folks. But any person who is anchoring themselves to a vision or a dream, I think is in danger of missing truth. So that's why I think we have to realize our standard for truth is the Word of God alone. Why? Because it alone brings us the message concerning Christ.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. The reason why I guess I was asking is that I've been learning something called meditation, and I swear that I've met him in sight through the meditation in a different way than I did growing up most of my life. And so I was just curious on what you know what people thought outside of that realm, and I was just curious if I'm, you know, maybe I'm stumbling on something I shouldn't be doing.
Well, Juan, here's the reality. I mean, this gospel message is about Christ. And those of us who have come to Christ, here's what's happened. You know, our sins have been washed away. We've been declared to be righteous. We've been given a new identity. But more important than all of that, Christ has come to live in us through his Holy Spirit. So he is there within us. And sometimes we go through different seasons where we sense his presence and really grab hold of that reality. So sometimes through, you know, we've read the Word of God, and then we spend some moments trying to soak that in. And at certain times, we feel his presence more than others. But who we're meeting is the Christ of the Bible that has been clearly laid out for us through the words of the apostles. So,
yeah, one of the things we're told quite often in the New Testament is things like fix your eyes on Jesus. So concentrating on him and his message and his truth as revealed in Scripture does wonderful things for your thinking processes. What happens in many, I'm not saying all, but many meditation classes is they teach you to empty your mind, to stop thinking. And the Holy Spirit works first and foremost by renewing our minds, not by having us emptying our minds and make suggestions. He's actually actively engaged with us. And so focusing on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, is a very concentrated, powerful truth that is very different than what a lot of meditation would teach.
Yeah, and that's what I did through the meditation. I actually kind of do my own. I guess, you know, I don't always go by the rules what people say to do. And so, you know, I went through the meditation, and when I felt I was really relaxed and calm, I focused my everything towards him, and that's when I saw him.
Well, and that's the deal.
It was really interesting.
Is to meditate on Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jesus got away often, went up in places where he could be alone with the Father and listened to the Father tell him what was coming next. There's nothing wrong with doing that, as long as we're doing it in the context of Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. Juan, hope that helps.
Yeah, it helps a lot. You know, listening to what you guys had to say, you know, it's a short time. You got a lot of people to talk to, so I'll let you go. But thank you very much.
You are welcome, Juan. Let me put you on hold. We'd love to send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. You hang on, okay?
There is a question that someone has written in about 2 Thessalonians, and I think it fits in with this whole month's conversation. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. What is the secret power of lawlessness that is already at work, and who is the one restraining this lawlessness till he is taken out of the way? Would that be the Holy Spirit? If so, should the Holy Spirit remove during end times, how would anyone be saved? I'd appreciate you clarifying how this works out. It's written from Florida.
Well, that's an interesting question, and really a very good one in light of this study through Revelation. You know, certainly the lawless one, the power of lawlessness is already at work. It's really, I don't think, a secret. You know, we saw the power of lawlessness in the garden. Mm-hmm. with Satan and the offer that he made to Adam and Eve. You can be like God. That was his offer. You don't need God to be like God. You can do it on your own. And so he made the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so enticing to them, desirable to them, that they partook. And that's the power of lawlessness. It's veiled in deception. But what really happens is those who deceived become deceived themselves. And we saw that through the book of Revelation. Here Satan is trying to battle the Lord all the way to the end. He actually thinks he can beat Jesus.
Yeah.
He can win the battle. He can gather as many armies as he wants. He can gather as many forces as he wants, but he's no match to Jesus Christ. And in that end, at that battle of Armageddon, it's simply this: Jesus speaks and it's over. There is no real battle. Jesus speaks, it's done.
Uh-huh.
And he cast them into the lake of fire. Now, there's also this reign of Christ, you know, there where Satan is put into a bottomless pit. He's locked up there for a period of time. Those who have been beheaded come out of the graves, they're raised, they rule and reign with Christ. And then there's a period where, you know, that bottomless pit is unlocked and, you know, the evil forces just, you know, are unbridled. They're just let loose. And that's part of the judgment on the lost. That's part of all of those 21 different judgments that we saw in the book of Revelation. Now, we try to put that in a timeline, and we try to ask all of these questions. But what we see is that all the way through the end, there's this constant appeal from God to people to repent and come to life. That's the story. God is giving opportunity all the way up to the end for people to come to know Jesus. And if somebody repents, somebody turns to him, the Holy Spirit is going to be the one who regenerates. The Holy Spirit is going to be the one who gives life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So he's always going to be ready and willing to do that work in anybody who turns to him to drink of the water of life. So we know that. We know that to be true. So there's lots of speculation on what's restraining this work. I think part of it is, you know, godly people are here. I think there's a restraining element. I think, you know, governments to some degree help restrain evil in this world. That's what they're set up to do. So lots of those things are going to are there, and then they're not going to be there. And how all that's going to work, I don't really know, and I don't think anybody really knows for sure. But we know what the word says, and we'll find out what it really looks like when it occurs.
Yeah, I think it's actually great news that one of the things the Holy Spirit gives us when we're children of God is discernment. And if there is something going on in your environment, whether it's home or work or school or something, that the Holy Spirit needs you to be aware of and to avoid, the Spirit will reveal that to you. And in that sense, that mystery of godlessness is revealed to you. But on the whole, all we have to do is take a look around and say, wow, this doesn't have anything to do with God anymore. And Satan is always there, always trying to kill us, and the Spirit is always there, always trying to bring us through, and in fact will succeed to bring us through.
Yes, indeed. Well, we've come to the end of this study. It's been a powerful study for me personally. I've never seen the current of assurance that is so strong flowing through this book as I did going through this through Revelation this particular month. It has really infused a greater sense of hope in me and intensified my resolve to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's a lost world out there, folks, who need Jesus. And I just encourage you in your sphere of influence to take the time to reach out, to connect with somebody, and tell them about the love of Christ. There is eternal life available to them. Jesus is offering that life. Extend it to others that you know. That's what Basic Gospel is all about, and those who support this outreach, that's what we're all here to do, to share the simple, powerful, life-changing news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for journeying with us through Revelation. Tomorrow, we have a program note. It's going to be a wonderful program as we share some of the changed lives that are part of this ministry. I think you'll be encouraged by the stories that you hear tomorrow. Next week, we turn our attention to profiles and character. We're going to look at some of the characteristics that God produces in His children, and we're going to learn some of these lessons from some unlikely sources.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. I think it's going to be appropriate as we get closer and closer to the day of Thanksgiving that we celebrate here in the United States. But we're going to see that as a powerful characteristic that God produces in us. Yesterday, we mentioned a matching gift challenge, a $10,000 gift that came in. And we are asking our listeners to match that over the next several days. And you can go online to make a gift that say, I want to be a part of the Basic Gospel team. I want to be involved in Basic Gospel Nation, so to speak. A gift of $20, a gift of $50, a gift of $100 will make a significant difference in what we're doing through this broadcast. So go online to basicgospel.net, click the support link, and follow all of the instructions there. And if God is working in your heart to be a monthly partner with us, there are ways that you can there are certain things that you can click to say that I want to join you on a monthly basis.
Yes.
If that's not the way for you, pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. Billy is standing by. She would love to hear from you. She is a delightful lady, and you'll just love talking with her. And she will walk you through that process. Or you can contribute by sending a check to us. Here's our address, Basic Gospel, 1225 East Rosemead Parkway. That's 1225 East Rosemead Parkway, Carrollton, Texas, 75007. Let's match this $10,000 gift. And in doing so, let's reach more and more people and connect them to the love of Jesus Christ. Well, my name's Bob Christopher, and for all of us here at Basic Gospel, have a great day in the Lord Jesus, and we'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow at this time for another edition of Basic Gospel.